Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm Tim with Ed. Thank you for listening to AFR, American Family Radio. Check us out on the internet at AFR.net, Facebook, or YouTube. We live video stream the show there. So if you want to go there, Facebook or YouTube, just type in Today's Issues. Steve Jordahl joins us now.
He does. Good day.
I like a man that starts the show talking in third person.
Huh? That's right.
Ed likes that.
Does Ed like that? Yeah. Tim joins you.
Yes.
And liking what Steve said about himself. All right. Again, tonight in Salt Lake City, the vice presidential debate between Senator Harris of California and VP Pence of the White House. Boy, Steve, that COVID going around the White House, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of people. Latest, I think, is Stephen Miller, one of the aides there. Kayleigh McEnany. Is Kayleigh?
Yes, she got it.
Just a lot of people. In fact, I just saw a tweet, or I heard about a tweet. I didn't read the actual tweet, but Joe Biden tweeting out that if President Trump still has COVID in a week when they're supposed to debate again, he doesn't want the debate. So maybe backing out?
How does that work?
Tim, they put plastic between the two of them. That's a barrier that's impenetrable by any virus.
No, but what I'm saying, how does that work in terms of whether what's the likelihood of him still having COVID or not, Ed?
Well, he tested positive, last Thursday, was it, or Wednesday? So 10 days is the...
But he could have had it prior to that.
Yes, that is true. So, but the quarantine is 10 days from your positive test. So that is without symptoms. So if you have like a fever, you add 72 hours, 3 days after your last high fever. So that would, I'm not sure what the days are in terms of adding 10 days. Steve, was it last Wednesday? I'm going to look at my calendar here.
I was in Oregon without my phone. I don't know if I told you this yesterday, but last week, I told you guys I went to Oregon to visit my daughter and my new granddaughter. I got to the airport in Memphis, and I realized I had left my phone on my bed in Tupelo, an hour and a half away.
All that time without your phone?
A week and several days. And so I decided to go with it.
Needs to be drug tested.
I know, right? I decided to go with it. I purposefully, I had no access to Twitter or Facebook or any of that stuff, and I purposely avoided any news coverage. I spent the week in a news desert. I read a couple books. I read one on sports journalism. I read Charles Krauthammer. I read a book on the moon landings and Apollo 11.
And we don't care about any of that
stuff. Well, this is the thing. There's a whole millions and millions of people out there who read those books and don't watch Fox or MSNBC or CNN that have no idea what's going on in this world. It's amazing.
Okay. I have quickly investigated this, all right? If the president, I think the president tested positive on Wednesday, September 30th, maybe October 1st.
A week ago?
Yes, so a week ago. The next presidential debate is Thursday, October 15th. So let's say 10 days from the 30th would be Saturday or Friday. So the 9th or the 10th, he would be 5-6 days out from the next.
Okay.
So if he doesn't get a fever or any other kind of symptoms, he will have passed the threshold for quarantine.
Should easily. But Vice President Biden is saying if he still has COVID, the debate is a no-go.
Yes.
He has suggested if Trump is still symptomatic or at least isn't declared cured, then he doesn't want a debate.
Now this will be interesting because Biden can push this. He can say, I don't believe the president. I believe the president's still symptomatic and I don't want to get it, so we're not going to do the debate. You know, Tim, you said that you thought there may be a possibility that this is all Biden does was that one debate.
I think it's a mistake for Vice President Biden to do any more debates.
Just in terms of his own chances for
yes.
election.
Yes. Yes, he survived, and some would argue he was better in the debate than the president was. I think it was a food fight, wash, pretty much, for me personally, just watching the debate. Of course, I believe in Trump's views, so I don't. The debate wasn't going to sway me one way or another. I agree with Trump's views on government a lot more than I do on Biden, so I already knew that going into the debate. But I think as a practical, tactical, political judgment, if I were advising Joe Biden, I would say, you're winning. Don't risk losing by doing another debate with Trump, because it's not going to help you. It can only hurt you.
Right.
That's what I would say. I would say you back out today. We'll back out today.
You've got a ready-made excuse.
Say the president's had COVID. Or you could say, I don't want to do any more debates with President Trump. They really don't accomplish anything.
I would also point to the fact that he interrupted me constantly. I don't want to. That's
all you got to say. That's all you got to say. I'm really surprised that Biden is doing a second debate.
I didn't see the debate, as I mentioned, but what I've heard is that it was a train wreck. But I see the commentators on the left saying that Joe Biden really came out well. I mean, he beat Donald Trump.
They were going to say that anyway. He didn't come out well.
But if that's what he believes, what's to keep him from saying, let me take another shot, a bite at that apple?
I think Tim's right in that you've got nothing really to gain.
Nothing.
And everything to lose, because I would be surprised if there's a second debate. I would be surprised if the president does not tone down his behavior and is much better prepared for the second debate. So I think Tim's exactly right. You've got nothing really to gain, everything to lose in a second debate, and you've got a couple of ready-made excuses. For the second debate, you say, listen, I think he's still got COVID. He's been lying. He hasn't handled COVID right since the very beginning. I don't trust him and his doctors. And in fact, I don't want to debate because he's just going to interrupt like he did the last time. Nobody wants to see that. Everybody learned what they wanted to learn about us as candidates from the first debate. I'm not doing any more.
That's what I would do. That's what I would do. I'm surprised that he's going forward with this, because I think, like I said, I think it can only hurt Biden. It can't help him.
And, right.
Now, again, folks, I know some of you are thinking, so you think, Tim, that Biden's got it won? That's the reason you wouldn't do a debate? No, not necessarily. This is a matter of opinion, right?
Right.
So this is not in the Bible. Okay. So this is a matter of opinion. But every poll, every national poll that I've seen, with the exception of one, has Joe Biden up 5 to 7 points. Some more. 12 points, 10 points, that kind of thing. So it's the conventional wisdom is that Biden is ahead and it's his to lose. All right? But he can lose, because Trump could win like he did against Hillary Clinton in some very close races in the battleground states. But I'm just saying, if you believe the polls, you have to say that Biden is going to win, because Trump can't possibly win all those battleground states that he needs to like he did last time. Do I believe that? No. But I believe there's a 60-40 chance that could be true. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I think it's 60-40 right now that Biden wins. That's my own opinion. People might say, you're nuts. You watch this secret vote that's going to come out. I hope it does.
Right.
But I'm just saying, right now, if you look at the statistics and the numbers and the polls and the surveys, I think that's a fair assessment, don't you?
I do. And
you must agree with me, Ed.
But you and I both know we do agree.
Right.
And we're about the only ones internally here. Most people take the second view. I think it is about 60-40. I think that's a good number. Maybe
60-40 chance that 60% that Biden wins, 40% that Trump wins.
Yeah, maybe maybe 55-45, whatever, however you want to cut that. But I think Joe Biden is actually ahead. Now, I do think the race will tighten, because I do think that there are a lot of people not really paying attention. Yes, even at this late
stage. Like Steve did.
Like Steve, yeah. They've got a lot of things going on. And but I do think that the president is behind the eight ball a little bit. I think his debate performance the other night hurt him. I think it helped Biden, because Biden was able to show, yes, I can go an hour and a half without fumbling and stumbling and losing my way. He came across, I think, as presidential. So I think that I would say 55-45, but I think Biden is legitimately ahead, although I do question the polls and the oversampling of Democrats. But I think there is Trump fatigue in the nation, and I think some of that is the president's fault, but most of that is what we were talking about in the first segment, is he has been pummeled for 4 years, and as unfair as that is, I think it has taken its toll on the popularity of the president, and he has to, like he did in 2016, get a royal flush if he wants 4 more years in the White House. In fact, I've said, I don't know if I've said this on the air, but I have said this privately to you, Tim, that if President Trump wins re-election, it will be a miracle of God, because I think having the whole world against President Trump, and that's what he has been fighting.
Yes.
The swamp, other countries, other leaders, Chinese interference.
Social media,
the media, even members of his own party, having the whole world against him means that if he wins re-election, it's because God said that man is going in for another 4 years. That's what I think has to happen for Trump to get re-elected.
Steve?
It's not a popular opinion, but that's what I believe. So,
it would make me very, very, very angry if the American people decided that because of a four-year-long, two-year-old temper tantrum by Democrats, that the American people says, okay, we're done with it. We're just tired of it. Because on the morally, the issue, ethically, the issues, the accomplishments in office, keeping his word, keeping his campaign promises, has been Donald Trump's strong suit for the last 4 years. He's made America a better place.
And well, that would have worked, Steve, prior to COVID. I think the general consensus is that President Trump would have won.
Hands down.
Hands down, handily. He would have won. If we can go back to February, he would have beaten Biden or whoever they put up.
Economy soaring.
COVID
changed everything.
I don't know how the American people hold Trump responsible for COVID. The Democrats' talking points notwithstanding, they're going to say anything that's negative about Trump. I mean, even in Bush and Gore and Obama and McCain, that's what you do in a campaign. You find the negatives. But realistic people cannot hold the economic collapse in COVID against the president.
We'll find out in a few weeks.
Yep.
I think going along what Ed was saying earlier about the overall effect on people's psyche, if you want to. People who don't really follow politics that closely, or they don't have necessarily, if you can believe it, a preference between a Republican and a Democrat, and they see the ramifications of the shutdowns, and they have a negative view of whoever the leader is of the country because the economy is suffering. There is probably 5 or 10% of the public that's how they say, well, under so-and-so, I was doing fine. Now I'm not. Well, whose fault is that? Well, if they're in office, it's their fault.
That's how that's how Bush 41 lost re-election to Bill Clinton, was the economy. The economic news was not strong, and people take that out on the man who's in office. Someday they may take
it out. For better or for worse?
For better or for worse.
Fair or unfair.
That is generally how people, because there are a lot of people in this country who are not informed, who don't pay attention, who don't even understand how our government works, and that's how they vote. They vote their pocketbook, and they vote on how do I feel about the direction of the country,
today.
And they hold, and perhaps it is unfair that the president gets too much credit when the economy's doing well and gets too much blame when it's not doing well. But that's the way too many people vote. And it is a sad sign of the state of our republic, because far too many people just are ignorant about the form of government we have and how the country operates. But that, like you said, that's just the way they vote. So we will find out in a few weeks whether people, I think it would be unfair. I agree with Steve. It would be absolutely unfair to blame the president for what has happened under COVID. But that is the way kind of the cookie crumbles.
Well, the Democrats blame him for all the deaths.
Yeah. And that's been hammered by the media.
200,000 died on your watch.
That's right.
And I asked you the other day, we were talking, and I said, if Biden wins, when does his watch start for COVID deaths?
Well, it'll start when he's inaugurated.
And so then we start counting how many people he's killed.
Yeah. No, we might, but the media won't. No one,
then,
the then Democrats
won't. Then it's going to go away.
Yes.
President Trump will have been proven right. It will magically go away.
Yeah.
By the way, on the good news front for the president, I was seeing here that there is a poll showing that Trump is ahead by 4 points in Ohio. He has to win Ohio.
Yes.
Like he did last time. Florida, as I said yesterday, there was a poll showed Trump up. There's also a poll that shows Biden up.
He has to win Florida.
He has to win Florida. So that's basically a tie, Steve. So Florida and Ohio are big states that the president has to have to win. And he's in essence, in the polls, he's basically tied in those states. Now, personally, if I see a tie, then I say Trump's going to win that state, because they do oversample Democrats. Most all the polling services do. And also there is the hidden vote dynamic. That is the fact that a lot of Republicans/conservatives don't like to answer surveys on the phone because they don't know who they're talking to. They don't know what the ramifications are, and they don't want to, you know what I'm saying? They don't want to be browbeaten. Should it be a fake poll, and maybe it's some kind of Democrat person going to say,
Some of them may be worried about losing their job if they come out publicly
Tricked or something.
They're
going to be, anyway, so there's a lot of people who don't want to talk to people they don't know on the phone. I think that is a dynamic that exists. How large is that? We don't know. We won't know till November the 3rd.
And maybe longer in some of these states.
But, now Michigan, I haven't seen Trump ahead in Michigan a poll anywhere.
Right.
And Pennsylvania is like really close. Wisconsin, Minnesota, really close. But a lot of people say, Steve, that the governor there in Michigan's unpopular. She's a Democrat.
Vastly unpopular. Yeah, you know, there's 4 weeks minus one day before the election, and historically, the 4 weeks preceding a national election is an eternity. So much can happen. In fact, the term October surprise is because such different things happen those weeks leading up to the election. It's a little bit of a different mood or playing field now with the press so much in Biden's corner. But still, I don't know that. I mean, I had a seminary professor who called interesting but ultimately not very productive discussions pipe and beer discussions. It's great to talk about if you're sitting around at, you know, an evening talking about things, but I don't know that polling right now is going to be relevant.
That's what you believe if you're in President Trump's corner.
Yeah, a lot of what we're talking about here is going to be interesting to see what happens on November the 3rd, because we're projecting our own views. That's why we're here, on the news of the day, on the polls, on the surveys, and so forth. Is what we're really saying accurate or not? We won't know until November the 3rd. I say this, Steve. I just said you have Governor Gretchen Whitmer in Pennsylvania, who's known as
Michigan.
Excuse me, Michigan. Governor lockdown, basically.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Steve, you said she's vastly unpopular. Well, no, she's not. Not according to October 6th. She's popular in Michigan. They like the way she's handled this, 51% to 41% of the situation. So, she is vastly unpopular with conservatives.
Right.
And with Republicans. But with the majority of people in Michigan, they like what she's done.
I think I was confusing unpopular with unconstitutional. Sorry.
Yeah. Now, for those who tell me, yes, but those numbers aren't accurate. Those are liberal media numbers that says she's 51 to 41%. She's had a 52-51 favorability. What I'm saying to you, I guess we'll find out in about 3 weeks who's right on this.
If you say that about the polls, then there's no way to have a discussion. All you can do is say, well, we'll just have to wait.
Right, we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know. I mean, and all of us hang around with people who think like us for the most part, don't we? So that's all we hear. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We reinforce our own views.
And that's true on the left as well.
Yeah, exactly. So I want to know, I guess what I want to know, if Governor Whitmer's shutdown of Michigan hurts the Democrats in the presidential election or not.
Yeah, and this is a governor who is doubling down on shutting down, keeping the state shut down, even when the state Supreme Court has ruled against. So all of this will play out as more and more people find out about what Governor Whitmer's going to do, and that's I've been thinking all along that this is going to hurt Democrats in Michigan, but I didn't know that this poll says 51-41.
This is according to the Detroit News, and I'm sure they're a liberal newspaper, but they say, let's see, the first-term Democrat governor was viewed favorably by 51% of respondents. This is a poll of 600 people, so whatever that's worth. While 41% say they viewed her unfavorably.
And then on November 3rd, a lot depends on who actually goes to vote. So what percentage of those who view what she's done favorably actually go and cast ballots as opposed to those who view her unfavorably? So there's a lot, but we got to talk about something. So this is what we do. So we discuss policy positions and can only guess like everybody else at how it's going to play out on November 3rd. Keeping in mind what Steve said, we still have almost 4 full weeks left.
Do we?
Yesterday marks 4 weeks until Election Day. Listen, if President Trump sails through his coronavirus quarantine with no additional symptoms and touts that and says, listen, we got to get back to work. We got to open up the country. Let's not be afraid of this. We'll deal with it. Be as safe as possible. That could impact the election. If he gets worse in terms of symptoms, okay, does that hurt the president? Because he, quote-unquote, ignored the science. All of this stuff will play out in the next 4 weeks.
Steve, you got a minute to go.
Let me just mention this important thing. We can talk more about this tomorrow, but in Texas, a grand jury has indicted Netflix for showing what amounts to child pornography because of this movie, Cuties. As you know, 1MillionMoms.com, our group here, has been trying to get Attorney General Bill Barr to open up a similar investigation, but in Texas, it looks like they are taking Netflix on.
Well, I'm glad. Now, I have not watched this movie, and I will not watch it. I think Monica Cole, who heads up 1 Million Moms for us, has watched it, or we have used. Anyway, I have seen the trailer for this, and this is sexual exploitation of children. And I'm glad somebody has indicted Netflix. I don't know whether it's going to go anywhere, but you've got to stand up for what's right and what's wrong. And Netflix is perverse. This isn't the only thing they've done.
You can still go to 1MillionMoms.com and sign the petition.
Good. Sign it, folks.
Steve.
Get those numbers.
My pleasure.
Okay, folks. Again, the vice presidential debate is tonight at 8 o'clock on national television. I encourage you to watch it. And we will be back here tomorrow to discuss it and other topics of the day. Have a good afternoon, everybody.